कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन भ्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन भ्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुर्भ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 3 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 30 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ 31 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕಪಿಲಾಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಮೂವ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್? Who was speaking? Damodar Prabhu? Okay. Of course, Damodar Prabhu. And Damodar Prabhu was speaking. Whose narration? Lord Kapila is speaking. Yes. And whom is he speaking to? Mother Devahuti. So, what were they speaking about? The life of an attached householder, the psychology of a attached householder. And where did the chapter end? And the hellish planets that one goes. So Abhi, now that he has gone to hell, now he has to take birth again. So that sequence is continued in today's chapter. So in today's chapter we will see the first part. It mainly discusses about how this process of impregnation of the soul into the womb of a mother takes place, and what kind of his hellish existence continues further in the womb of the mother, contrary to the popular notion, where people, they create a very rosy picture of the stay of a child in the womb of a mother. But it's not really so rosy. It's a very troublesome situation that is described in the first one third of the chapter. In the second section, middle part, it talks about now that the jiva is suffering in the womb of the mother, how does it pray? What are the various prayers? Especially the mood of those prayers are very nice. How the jantu who's residing, that which is going to take birth, the jantu, how it prays, that is described. And finally, the chapter ends with some very, very heavy verses which talk about how the bondage perpetuates, how it continues after the child comes out of the womb, and how in bad association it again goes back into the cycle of bondage. So that is described in the last part of this. Okay, so we'll begin with the first part. Okay. So the first 11 verses are going to talk about the suffering of the jiva in the womb of the mother. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papatyate Striya Pravishta Udaram Pumsoreta Kanashrayah.
The personality of God had said, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and according to the result of his work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of a woman through the particle of male semen to assume a particular type of body.
Right. So Jantur Deha Upapatyate. So how does it obtain the Deha, a gross body? How does the science work? First, it is Striya Pravishta Udaram. It has to enter into the Pravishta, the Udaram, the womb of a Stri, a woman. How does it happen? Pumsaha Reta Kana Ashrayaha. Through, by taking shelter, ashraya, or by dwelling in the particle of the retaha, of the semen of the male, it enters into the womb. But how is all this dynamics happening? Karmana Daiva Netrena. So it is all happening under the supervision of the Lord. So I think this is one of the memorization verses. Yeah, yeah. This is very popular. Prabhupada quotes this many times. The very popular verse. So that is how it is explained. So as stated in the last chapter, after suffering different kinds of hellish conditions, a man comes again to the human form of body. The same topic is continued in this chapter. That is a link with the previous chapter. So what is happening? During sexual intercourse, the soul is transferred to the semen of the father into the mother's womb in order to produce a particular type of body. Like that. So after suffering through all these hells, Tamishra, Andhatamishra and all these hells, what is happening? Again the suffering is there. He who has had many types of hellish bodies, those like that of dogs and hawks, they again come to take a human form of life. So the important point is Prabhupada takes this Karmana Daiva Netrena and he writes the rest of the purport. That how? Everything is done by the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who is this Daiva? Under whose supervision this whole thing is happening? Yeah, but which aspect of the Supreme Lord? Time or Paramatma? Who says time? Raise your hand. Okay, who says Paramatma? Raise your hand. Paramatma party thoda doubtfully haath utha raha hai. Okay. It is everything is done under supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material nature supplies the body. The answer is always the next line. But it does so under the direction of the super soul. So why super soul? Because the Shveteshwara Upanishad, the two birds who are residing. So that theme Prabhupada takes this, he repeatedly quotes that again in future verses also. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that a living entity is wandering in the material world on a chariot made by material nature. It is said so? Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Where is it said that there is a chariot made by material nature? Yantra Rudhani Maya. What is the first line? Brahmaran Samya Bhutanam. Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam. Hiddesha Brahmaran Sarva Bhutanam. Yantra Rudhani Maya. Yes. So the same. Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam. Hiddesha. So like that. So this, it is the Ishwara as super soul is accompanying the living entity. And how? Yantra Rudhani Maya. This Maya, it creates a chariot, a vehicle, yantra, for it to Brahman, so that it can wander around from one species to another species, like that. Then, Retha Karnashraya is very significant because it indicates, yeah, this is a very important point, it indicates that it is not the semen of the man that creates life within the womb of a woman. Rather, the living entity, the soul, takes shelter in the particle of semen and is then pushed into the womb of a woman. Then the body develops. There is no possibility of creating life without the presence of soul simply by sexual intercourse. So life does not come by just man and woman coming together. Right? Now you can challenge this argument, especially in the wake of today's modern science. We are, you know, modern man has achieved many things. You know, like even a test tube baby, the emulsification happens separately and then it is put in a test tube. But today people are talking about creating super conscious machines. Right? I mean, artificial intelligence has gone so far ahead. Right? How many of you have downloaded the new Google chat app? Ah, good. Thank you for raising your hand. Only one honest brahmachari in the class. I know everybody else has already downloaded it. What is it called? Allo, right? Oh, you don't know. Hello. Sorry? No, not Hangouts. Acha, okay. Good, I'm happy that nobody knows this. So, Google launched a new chat app like WhatsApp. It's called ALLO. So, don't download it now. But I'll tell you why I'm talking about that. So, in that chat app, they have an AI engine, artificial intelligence engine embedded into it. So, it gives predictive text. Like if somebody sends you a whole, say, go and buy, you know, 1 kg potatoes, 1 kg tomatoes and get some bread and butter and things like that. Then the software automatically gives you a reply, predictive reply saying that yes, we'll go to the supermarket right away. You don't have to type it, but it gives a predictive text. So that is the most primitive level of artificial intelligence that we see today. And this has gone even beyond. I mean, people are talking about creating super conscious machines. They are as good as human in their response and behavior. So, if every symptom of life can be mimicked artificially, how will you then challenge the modern science when, you know, they talk about this? And last argument before I throw the floor open for discussion. Like, you all heard about cloning also, right? Right? Even that's how they're just bringing together the male fluid and the female fluid, and then they're trying to do some, you know, that's how they are creating life. So, I mean, in light of the statement where Prabhupada is saying that there is no possibility of creating a living entity without the presence of soul simply by sexual intercourse, the materialistic theory that there is no soul and a child is born simply by material combination of sperm and ovum is not feasible, it is unacceptable. Prabhupada, like, you know, clear-cut statement, not possible, unacceptable. So how will you challenge modern science with this? Yes. Mike. Rishi Ruvacha.
In one of the purport, Prabhupada writes that whenever the whatever scientists produce, without their more intervention, if they go on producing duplicate machines, then their intelligence can somewhat go near to the gods. Because they have to give, for every satellite, they have to keep watch 24 hours.
Okay.
But God has produced male and female, that without God's intervention is direct, they can go on producing duplicate machines.
Right. Okay. Do you understand the answer? The answer is that, you know, the way God's creation works, it can produce self-duplicating machines. It doesn't that God has to come every time and make sure that the next generation continues. It just happens. Right? So like that. But at least in our creation, we have to monitor. But still, at least first level, we created some kind of, you know, self-conscious or very super-conscious entities. Yeah.
And God's supervision is there, right?
Dhyanetrena.
That is supervision of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we monitor satellites and everything, God's supervision also there.
Okay. So Rasik Gaurari Prabhu, your counter argument. We are monitoring satellites like that. Paramatma is also monitoring. Karmana Daiva Netrena, this verse is saying. So Bhagavan ko bhi baith ke maintenance karna pad raha hai. Okay. Yeah, you know, his argument is that it is Parashya Shakti Ryudeva Shruyate, Swabhava ki Gyana. So by Swabhava, the energies are working. But at least our swabhav is not, our energies are not working by itself. We have to work hard. You know, prasadam doesn't happen by itself. Somebody has to go and cook. Okay. But still, I mean, the reason is when you all go out for youth preaching or any kind of preaching today, people will challenge you on this. You are saying life cannot be created, but today all symptoms of life are being duplicated to a major extent. Yes. Okay, let's. He has a mic. You wanted to say something? Okay, yeah.
But they don't create the ingredients. They take ingredients from nature only.
Okay.
Like semen and ovum, they take from human and then they do cloning and everything else.
Okay. Theek hai. Still, they are able to do something, right? There's a very fundamental point that you all are missing here. Let's see who will answer. Yeah, Prabhuji is back there. Maybe you can scream loudly. Okay, very close to the answer. He said that they can create a form, they can create a body, but they cannot give the life force, they cannot give consciousness to it. That is his answer. Huh? They need another living entity. Okay. Okay, let them create a whole, yeah, let them create a small living entity by itself. Okay, then how are all these things working?
Yeah, at one place.
Okay. You're all there, I'm just looking for one very precise answer now.
I heard that whenever a condition is available for a soul to enter, that time only the soul enters actually. Whenever a sperm and ova comes, but soul will enter when it's a feasible. Like a person can enter a house when a house is ready. Similarly, when such conditions are available where soul can grow, that time soul enters. So it may happen outside the body
so
also.
So what scientists are doing is
creating the conditions.
They can only create the condition for the soul to enter. They cannot create consciousness or life force. They cannot create soul. Right? So what is happening even in cloning is that they are just creating the right conditions out of the thousands of that sperm and ovum combinations that they make. Only one emulsifies and forms, takes life. It is not that their strike rate is 100%. It is like not 1%. So, there is nothing astounding if even scientists tomorrow manage to create a whole life force outside a womb. Even right now, to create a clone, they still need a womb. Tomorrow they may manage to replicate that atmosphere also. But still, the point is, the moment they mix this ovum and sperm, a soul under Karmana Daiva Netra is entering into that. That they cannot control. That they cannot replicate, recreate. So that is the whole point. And even if they manage to create, I mean, there are certain theistic scientists who are saying that, we'll just make some kind of a conscious machine or something like that. So the theistic scientist is also saying that even if you manage to create such a kind of a machine which has symptoms of life, if you're able to recreate all the right neural networks by which things can function, finally it is as good as creating an environment. Maybe a soul will enter into that and continue to run that. But the point is, without soul, you cannot create a living force, and soul cannot be created. That is there. That is all karmana, daiva netena. Like that. There's a research going on right now where they are trying to mimic everything that the brain can function. Basically, they are creating a brain without body. Simple, like that. A complete brain. So what is body? Basically is just input sensors to the brain. It gives energy and sensors to the brain. According to modern science, life is brain. When you are brain dead, you are dead. Like that. So they are trying to create a thinking machine which gets inputs. Like if it wants sight, they have cameras. If it wants sound, they have this and that. All they are putting all sensors to it, and they are trying to create something. And that is their version of life. So if everything is perfectly set, even the so-called, if it has to have exhibiting some symptoms of life, if it is perfect, then maybe a soul will come and occupy that. But otherwise, the point is, it cannot, symptoms of life cannot come without the presence of soul, like that. So anyway, point is, we should not get enamored by the gymnastics of the scientists, like that.
Even though scientists may create so many things, but the ultimately brain of scientists is also created by Lord.
Yes.
Ultimately, he is the controller.
Correct. Then, Kalalam to eka ratrena, pancharatrena budbudham, dashahena tu karkanduhu, peshyandham vatatah param.
On the first night, the sperm and the ovum mix, and on the fifth night, the mixture ferments into a bubble. On the tenth night, it develops into a form like a plum, and after that, it gradually turns into a lump of flesh or an egg, as the case may be.
Right, so in the next series of verses, the whole concept of Vedic embryology is being described, which very much corroborates with what even modern science says. So here, the stage of emulsification is described. So what is happening here? So these two, the sperm and the ovum, they mix and then they form into a bubble. And then on the 10th night, it develops into a form of a plum. So that is, the size is only what is being described here. And then gradually, if it is a bird, it develops into an egg. Or if it's human form, If it's an amphibian, it's a mammal, yes, it turns into a flesh. So one kind of body, that of trees and plants, sprouts from the earth. So there are four types of birth, right? One is germination. Second is which is born out of perspiration, like that of insects. Then third is through eggs, birds and all other beings, turtles and so on. And the fourth is that through embryo. These are the four ways in which life is produced. Yeah. Some insects do lay eggs, but some insects, they come out of perspiration also. Yeah. Huh? Bed bugs, yeah. Like that. So in the case of a bird, it develops into an egg. In the case of an animal and human being, it develops into a lump of flesh, like that. Then the next verse talks about how the body is formed. Masena tushiro dvabhyam bahvyangriyadyanga vigraha nakhalo mashta charmani linga chidro
dhabhavastribhi. In the course of a month, a head is formed. And at the end of the 2 months, the hands, feet and other limbs take shape. By the end of 3 months, the nails, fingers, toes, body hair, bones and skin appear, as do the organ of generation and the other apertures in the body, namely the eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth and anus.
Like that. So slowly all the body organs, body limbs are formed. Then the fourth, fifth and sixth months, what happens? That is described in the next few verses. Chaturbhi dhatava sapta panchabhi kshutrit udbhavaha shadbhir jarayuna vitaha kukshau brahmyati dakshine.
Within the 4 months from the date of conception, the 7 essential ingredients of the body, namely child, blood, flesh, fat, bone, marrow and semen, come into existence. At the end of the 5 months, hunger and thirst make themselves felt, and at the end of 6 months, the fetus enclosed by amnion begins to move on the right side of the abdomen.
Right, so look at the level of details that are given here. What is happening? And that time no sonoscopy, no nothing. All done through mystic trance. You know, they had certain yogic powers by which they could see, they can enter into the womb and see all the things which are happening. And based on the direction in which the child in the womb moves, accordingly the gender is also described. When the body of the child is completely formed at the end of 6 months, if the child is male, he begins to move on the right side. If it is female, then she tries to move on the left side, like that. Then, how to all the suffering that one undergoes and how the mother should be so careful, that is described in the next few verses. Matur jagdhana panadyer edhadhatur asammate shete vinmurtayor garte sajantur jantu sambhave.
Deriving its nutrition from the food and drink taken by the mother, the fetus grows and remains in that abominable residence of stools and urine, which is the breeding place of all kinds of worms.
Like that. So Markandeya Puran gives this description where it says that in the intestine of the mother, the umbilical cord, which is known as the apayani, joins the mother to the abdomen of the child, and through this passage the child within the womb accepts the mother's assimilated foodstuffs. In this way the child is fed by the mother's intestines within the womb and grows from day to day. The statements of the Markandeya Purana about the child's situation within the womb is exactly corroborated by modern medical science, and thus the authority of Puranas cannot be disapproved as it sometimes done by Mayavadi philosophers. So Mayavadi, they say only Shruti is important. Puranas and all, they are like, they are all somebody's imagination. So, but here is the authenticity of Puranas also being described. Then Tapad goes on to write, restrictions and precautions to be taken by the pregnant mother are enunciated in the Smriti scriptures of Vedic literature. We can understand from the Vedic literature how much care is to be taken to beget a nice child in society. The Garbhadhana ceremony before sexual intercourse was compulsory for persons in the higher grades of society and is a very scientific process. Other processes recommended in Vedic literature during pregnancy are also very important. So, right from the, even before the child is conceived, there are various samskaras that used to begin in the Vedic society. So, you can understand how much care is to be taken, you know, just to bring a child into this world. Therefore, to take care of the child is a primary duty of the parents. But if such care is taken, society will be filled with good population to maintain peace and prosperity of the society, country and human race. So that is the most important responsibility. Just by making sure that the child is proper and care is taken to raise the child properly, automatically, peace and prosperity is ensured in the human society. Then the next few verses talks about the various kinds of miseries that the child in the womb undergoes. The first, it begins with misery due to the other bugs in the womb. Krimibhi kshatta sarvangaha saukumaryat pratikshanam Murcham apnoti rukleshas tatratyek shuditer muhu.
Bitten again and again all over the body by the hungry worms in the abdomen itself, the child suffers terrible agony because of his tenderness. He thus becomes unconscious moment after moment because of the terrible condition.
Like that. So the miserable condition of material existence is felt not only when we come outside the womb, but even within the womb. So material miseries begin right from inside the womb of the mother. Unfortunately, we forget this experience and do not take the miseries of birth very seriously. Therefore, what does Bhagavad Gita say? What is one of the items of knowledge? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu. One has to understand the fallacy of these four things. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. How these are sources of misery. Right? Especially janma. Janma is seen as a celebration. But it's not really so. Ask the child in the womb. Otherwise, why would we be crying when he comes out? Right? If it's a really source of celebration, why would the child be crying so miserably? It doesn't stop crying. Right? So that is the point. Therefore, one should be very alert to understand the specific difficulties of birth and death. But despite such miserable conditions due to spell of Maya, we forget everything and become enamored by the present so-called happiness, which is described as actually no more than a counteraction to distress. So the so-called pleasure that we experience here is only a little like a ointment, like a sal, like a little treatment for the misery, that's all. It is not positive happiness. It is just some kind of a temporary relief that we get from the miseries of material existence. And with that we become enamored. Right? That is the illusory power of Maya. Then, if that is a misery due to the bugs, then there is misery due to the diet of the mother, what all she eats. Because of that there is another kind of misery. What is that? Katutikshushna lavana rukshamladibhir ulbanehi Matrabhukter upasprishtaha sarvangottita vedanaha.
Owing to the mother's eating bitter, pungent foodstuffs or food which is too salty or too sour, the body of the child incessantly suffers pains which are almost intolerable.
Kathu, tikshna, ukshna, lavana, ruksha, amala, all these amla, all these things which we all like, pungent, hot, salty, dry, sour, right? This is the food that we like. These are all in which mode? Mode of passion, right? Say like that. We all like it, myself included. But anyway, but when the mother eats it, the pregnant mother, when she eats it, what happens? It creates a burning sensation around the intestines, and the womb is right next to the intestine. So therefore, that heat one experiences, the child experiences like that. All descriptions of the child's bodily situation in the womb of the mother are beyond our conception. It is very difficult to remain in such a position. But still, one is forced to be there. The thing is, because his consciousness is not very developed, the child can tolerate it. Usko pura, you know, kya bolte hain? Chloroform deke usko sula ke, danda leke, dhat, 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 mar rahe, aise, like that. It's only after you wake up, you realize, arre, why is my hand swollen? Why is my face swollen? Why are my bones broken? You know, it's like that. Only after you wake up, then you get the pain. You know, like once Gaurangpur was narrating that back in our in old days, a lot of chappal thieves used to come to Chowpatti. Sunday feast especially, a lot of these people who steal the chappal. So once they managed to catch one fellow, so they all took him inside and all our big people, Radha Dhati Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, all those people, they said, finally after so many years, thoda haath saaf karne ke liye mauka mil gaya. Right? So, but just before they were about to beat him, they said that he took some kind of some pill, which the thief, he took something in his mouth, because of which he was able to, all his body sensation was able to numb it. So no matter how hard they beat him, he didn't sense any pain. Like tuck, 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 he was just taking all the beatings. These people were tired, but that fellow was, you know, sthita pragya. Completely balanced, and you know. So anyway, so that is how it is. So basically the child in the womb, right? That's why the third level of covering of consciousness is ulbana, the child, how the soul is covered. What are the three levels? First is smoke covering fire. Second is dust covering the mirror. Third is the embryo, the womb covering the embryo. So that is completely very subdued state of consciousness. So it is so miserable that even the child does not experience the suffering. But it's nice that way, one may think, because anyway there is no pain. But the problem is, in 7 months he is going to get consciousness and he is going to realize, tongue all of a sudden is going to wake up and realize, arre, where am I? Right? That is the point. So that is a benediction of Maya, who endows the suffering body with the qualifications for tolerating such terrible tortures. So that is the nature of Maya. You know, many times we don't realize this, but I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but Maya tends to make us accustomed to the current level of misery that we are undergoing. Right? Like sometimes we break our hand or break our leg or something. Right? And then you end up taking support of, you know, like a crutch or something, and to walk. It may sound painful when you look at a person using a crutch walking up all these stairs. But for the person who's undergoing that, over a period of time we get accustomed to that. Right? So that is the nature of Maya. We get accustomed to whatever current level of misery is. You know, like that example of the traveler who fell into the ditch and he was just hanging on to that rope. He is being bitten by two colored, black and white mice, and there is a python at the bottom and there is a tiger at the top, and the bees are stinging him. But still, even in that situation, he is waiting for that one drop of honey to fall on his tongue. So that is Maya. So no matter which situation we are in, Maya tends to get us accustomed to that level of misery and hope, and it doesn't destroy our hope of enjoyment. Like that. Then, so that is the misery about the mother's diet. Then there is misery in just being in that posture itself. That is next verse. Ulbena samrattas tasmin antrescha bahir avritaha aste kritva shirah kukshau bhugna prishta shirodharaha.
Placed within the amnion and covered outside by the intestines, the child remains lying on one side of the abdomen, his head turned towards his belly, and his back and neck arched like a bow.
Like that. So sit with your head turned towards your belly, and your back and... So how long can you sit like that? Maybe not for long. Right? But it's not just sitting like that. You are sitting like that inside a tight sack, and that sack is kept next to a furnace. a hot furnace, and upside down, exactly. Right? So that is a worse situation. So Prabhupada writes, if a grown man were to be put in such a condition, right, it would be impossible for him to live even for a few seconds. Unfortunately, we forget all these sufferings and try to be happy in this life, not caring for liberation of the soul from the entanglement of birth and death. It is an unfortunate civilization in which these matters are not plainly discussed to make people understand the precarious condition of material existence. Like that. So nobody feels sorry for the child when it is born. Everybody thinks, oh, Hari Bol, celebration, celebration, happy birthday, right? We celebrate that day also. Can you imagine? Our remembrance of our miserable condition, we celebrate. Like that. Or maybe they celebrate because we got liberated from that miserable condition. I don't know why they celebrate like that. They make them cry, exactly. A new prisoner has arrived. Like that. So this is the perspective that nobody talks about. Right? So then there is also the child, not only external circumstances, the child also remembers the past miseries because of which he is in that condition. And he starts remembering, "Arey, because of my past miseries I am suffering." So that also further aggravates the situation. That is this verse. Akalpaswanga chetayam cheshtayam Shakunta iva panjare tatra labdha smritir daivat karma janma shatodbhavam smarandirgham anushvasam sarma kim nama vindate.
The child thus remains just like a bird in a cage without freedom of movement. At that time, if the child is fortunate, he can remember all the troubles of his past 100 births and he grieves wretchedly. What is the possibility of peace of mind in that condition?
Like that. So, Shakunta iva panjare. So, pinjar, right? Like a cage. How it is kept in a cage? A bird is kept in a tight cage. That is the condition of the child in the womb. Like that. So, the thing is, after childbirth, it may forget about all its misery. But then, by reading scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the suffering that one undergoes. So, therefore, one who does not take heed of these indications of suffering in human existence is said to be undoubtedly committing suicide. It is said this human form of life is meant for crossing over this nishayance, right? The body is compared to a boat. And what are the favorable winds? And who is the captain? Who are we? The passenger on the boat, like that. So one who does not utilize this favorable spiritual wind is committing suicide. Then now, text number 10 talks about the seventh month, where the consciousness now, he becomes more conscious and aware of the situation. Arabhya saptaman masal. Labdhabodho pivepitaha naitkatraste sutivater vishtabhur ivasodaraha.
Thus, endowed with the development of consciousness from the seventh month after his conception, the child is tossed downward by the airs that press the embryo during the weeks preceding delivery. Like the worms born of this same filthy abominable cavity, he cannot remain in one place.
So here's a nice poetic joke, if you all caught it. The last word of the verse is sodaraha. What does sodara means? Sa udaraha, which means usually a sibling is called sodara. Like our brother, sister, one who has come from the same womb is called sodara. Because we both shared the same udara, same womb, so it is called sa udara, like that. So here we have other sodaras with us. Who are they? The worms in the belly, like that. We are very anxious to establish universal brotherhood among human beings, but we should also take into consideration even worms are our brothers, like that. Then, text number 11. नात्मनर ऋषिर भीतः नाथमाना ऋषिर भीतः सप्तवृद्धि कृतांजलिः स्तुवितातम विक्लवय वाचा येनोदरेर्पितः.
The living entity in this frightful condition of life, bound by 7 layer of material ingredients, prays with folded hands, appealing to the Lord who has put him in that condition.
Like that. So therefore, so when a Prabhupada writes some purport, how a woman, when she's undergoing that labor pain, she curses herself saying that I will never get pregnant again. But immediately as soon as she sees a beautiful child, face of the baby, it says, oh, I want one more baby. Right? Likewise, a person who has committed some sinful crime or undergoes a medical surgery, right? During the pain of the surgery, he is cursing himself. Oh my God, I will never, you know, do, like for example, somebody is talking about this alcoholics. They get a liver cirrhosis. It's such a painful thing. They curse themselves that I will never drink again. I'll never. But again, the moment the pain reduces a little bit, they think, "Arey, can I get some alcohol somewhere?" No, that is the nature. So likewise, even the child in the womb is also thinking that when I will come out of the womb, I will never commit these sinful activities again. Like that. So interestingly, Vishnu Chakra Thakur, he gives a very nice purport to this. He says that how, according to the previous, whichever organization that he was in, that jiva, whichever life membership he took in whichever organization, his prayers change. So if he has taken life membership in some karma yoga organization, his prayers are like that of the karma jivas. And if he is a jnana jiva, he starts practicing sankhya yoga inside the belly of the mother. What is that? Oh, these are all the 24 elements which I should not worship. I should worship the 25th element. Paramatma is the 25th element. Right? Then the yogi jivas, some of you are all attached to time today, I don't know why. In our Kapila Sankhya 25th. So then the, some yogi jivas, they practice yoga while in the womb itself they start doing, they're already in Shirshasana. I don't know which asana, they do some variations in Shirshasana, I think. And 1 month I was doing Shirshasana there in Uttarkashi. You know, so it was, huh? Upside down. It is. Otherwise, I will not get the certificate. I have to somehow show that I am doing it like that. Not continuously 1 month. Of course, few moments in that 1 month I was doing Shirshasana. Like that. Then the devotees, they are praying. Though the jiva, which was previously has some devotional samskaras, they start praying. Offering prayers. So specifically these prayers which are spoken of in the next series of verses are specifically devotional prayers. So we'll try to understand that also. There are some evidences in the prayers which show that how this is a kuch to fallen devotee udhar, like that. Okay. Text number 12. Janturuvacha tasyopasannam avitum jagadichayata नानातनोर्भुविचलच्चरणारविन्दम् सोऽहं व्रजामि शरणं ह्यकुन्तो भयं मे अकुटो भयं मे येनेदृशी गतिरद्रश्यसतोऽनुरूपा.
The human soul says, I take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in his various eternal forms and walks on the surface of the world. I take shelter of him only because he can give me relief from all fear, and from him I have received this condition of life which is just befitting my impious activities.
Right. So this is the second line is a proof that these are devotional prayers. Why it is Nana Tanor Bhuvi Chalak Charanaravindam. So Chalak Charanaravindam, Prabhupada takes that verse and he writes the purport that it means, it refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who incarnates and he walks, right? When Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, when they come, they actually walked on the planet. Their lotus footprints were imprinted on the planet, like that. So therefore, this is talking about a soul who is remembering different incarnations of the Lord. So therefore, it is a devotee, like that. So then, yeah. So then he goes on to write. In fact, Sridhar Swami, he quotes, Vishwanathachakravarti quotes Sridhar Swami, and he says that the walking on the earth, it refers to Krishna's appearance on earth. So the child in the womb knows that Krishna is going to appear, or he has already appeared or will be appearing. So he's meditating upon Krishna's transcendental appearance on this planet, like that. Another significant point in this verse is Ichchaya, which means Lord comes by his own accord. As is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sambhavami Atma Maya. I come by my own will. Like that. So basically the Jantu here is thinking that my appearance here is bound by Karmana Daivanetrena. The laws of karma, the laws of karma swabhava, all these things are guiding my appearance into this material world. But the Supreme Lord, you are not bound by any of your Ichchaya. You come by your own accord. Therefore, you are not like me. Therefore, I take shelter of one who is not bound to take birth like me, like that. Then, why the Supreme Lord is so special? That is highlighted in the next verse.
Prabhuji,
yeah.
Question.
Yes.
In the second line, you mentioned that that he prays to that Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that indicates that living entity who is praying is a devotee, or like everyone is praying?
Okay. So in the previous purport, text number 11 purport, there's a long purport Vishwanathachakravarti Thakur writes, saying that it is not that every living entity prays. It is not that every jantu in the womb prays. But some, actually, who have that inclination because of their previous remembrance and this thing, they actually pray. It is not that every child in the womb prays. Though apparently every child in the womb is in a prayer position. Did you ever notice? Right? But it is not that, like in one of the future purports a statement comes. Actually, like in, and if any of you seen any National Geographic wildlife documentaries, right? They will show some in the night they show some lion moving around, and then they'll start their own commentary. The lion is enjoying a nice moonlight walk, and somehow accidentally the lion looks up. So then they start their commentary that, oh, the lion is enjoying the beautiful sight of the moon. That fellow is just looking for food only. That's the only thing on the lion's mind, food. Right? But the commentator gives his own commentary. You know? So like that, it is not to be considered that Bhagavatam is giving its own commentary like the National Geographic commentators. No. In fact, Prabhupada goes in that purport, he writes that the atheist may not believe about the child praying so many things in the womb, but actually we have to accept this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like it is not that again every child is also praying, but some very special souls, they actually are praying.
So in spite of praying, after they come out they forget, right?
Yes. Yes. Some remember, some have that inclinations.
So seventh month, it is stated here, consciousness is developed.
Right.
Consciousness is there from beginning only, no?
Right. Consciousness is always there right from beginning. It is in a covered state. The child becomes more aware of its surroundings. In fact, in the seventh month, the mothers also say that they experience something different. They actually experience that there is a living entity inside me. There is reciprocation. The child moves, the child kicks, the child reciprocates with different sounds around them. So it starts to behave in a more conscious way. That is what is explained. Yes, Prabhu. Mike, please.
The miseries are there in inevitably for all living entities in the womb. But does it mean that because it is a devotee in the womb, the misery he experiences is less than otherwise other living entities who are not devotees?
So, okay, before I answer this question, here is another question. If it is a devotee, how did he enter into the womb in the first place? He should have gone back to Godhead, right? Well, it is not exactly like that. Sometimes there are some mixed devotees. So they undergo a certain, they need certain more purification and then they enter into the womb. So likewise, the misery is there for everyone. Whether devotee in the womb or absolutely nobody is praying and completely non-devotional child, the misery is there. But the point is that Krishna is Matha Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Prabhupada quotes that also later on. Even that so-called smriti, remembrance of these prayers, is also coming by Paramatma's grace only. So it is by that Paramatma's grace only, the child in the womb gets the capacity to tolerate that misery. But those miseries are there, like that. But the level to which one suffers in the womb, that varies according to the sanction of the Paramatma, like that. So then, yeah, text 13, right? So text 13 is going to talk about some special characteristics of the Supreme Lord. What makes him so special compared to everybody else? Yastvatra baddha iva karma bhiravritatma bhutendriya yasyasmin avalambhya mayam aste vishuddham avikaram akhanda bodham Atapyamana Hridaye Vasitam Namami.
I, the pure soul, appearing now bound by my activities, am lying in the womb of my mother by the arrangement of Maya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him, who is also here with me, but who is unaffected and changeless. He is unlimited, but he is perceived in that repentant heart. To him I offer my respectful obeisances.
Like that. So, aste vishuddham avikaram akhanda bodham. This is the important. These are three important adjectives of the Lord. So, very important. In this verse, it is said vishuddham avikaram akhanda bodham. The super soul is always sitting apart from all the contamination. The living entity is contaminated and suffering because he has a material body, but that does not mean that because the Lord is also with him, he also has a material body, right? So, both the Paramatma and Jivatma both are there in the womb. So that doesn't make both of them on the same plane. The Paramatma is completely aloof, even though he is there within the womb, like that. So then, how to realize God? Atapya mane hidaya. This is a very important line here. Before we go to that, so Vishwajagat Thakur, he writes that these three characteristics: Vishuddham, Avikaram, Akhanda Bodham. So the Lord is Vishuddham, so which means he is completely pure. So because he is completely pure, he is avikaram. He does not undergo transformation. When the jiva enters into the material plane, its consciousness gets vikara. Right? Have you heard this word vikara somewhere? Where? Huh? Okay, and? Time and? In this section only. Time is the universal answer today. In Kapila's teachings, did you hear the word vikara somewhere? Maybe somewhere in 24th chapter? About formation of the material elements. How do they form? They are all vikaras. Right? So, the ahankara undergoes a vikara. The mind undergoes vikara, the buddhi undergoes vikara. So the living entity, by default, it undergoes vikaras. But Krishna is avikara, or Paramatma is avikara, because his vishuddham is avikara. Why is he avikara? Because he is akhanda bodham. His knowledge is not affected. What is akhanda bodham? He is possessor of unlimited knowledge. Akhanda bodham. Unlimited. Akhanda. Unlimited bodham, buddhi. His learnings, his teachings are unlimited. So like that. So these are the three main characteristics of the Lord. This is how we should be meditating upon the Lord. like that. But, okay, now that I know this is how the Lord is, what should be our mood while worshipping? That is very nicely described here by this word. Atapyamana hridaye avasatam. Here is in the heart, Lord is in the heart of every living entity, but he can be realized only by a soul who is repentant. Apatyamana. The individual soul becomes repentant that he forgot his constitutional position, wanted to become one with the Supreme Soul and tried his best to lord it over material energy. He has been baffled and therefore he is repentant. Like that. So therefore, so repentance is the first step. Then when one begins the process of spiritual understanding, then bahunam janvanamante jnanavanvam prapadante vasudeva sarvamiti, he comes to that platform. Then he becomes a mahatma. Like that. So, all mahatmas begin by repentance. That is the first step. In fact, in the Uddhava Gita, also very beautiful verse that comes, where Uddhava asks the Lord Krishna, that how is it that the living entity knows the cause of suffering and still engages in sense gratification? And Krishna replies that actually yes, the living entity knows that, but still somehow due to his conditioned nature, he engages forcibly in that sense gratification. But after realizing that he has committed a sinful activity, when he repents sincerely, the fire of repentance purifies the heart of the jiva. Like that. So it is the, so this repentance is a very, very powerful, it is a sign of sincerity. Sincerity begins with this, with the feeling of repentance. Repentance that how one wanted to become one with the Supreme Lord and wanted to lord over material nature. So that feeling should be there. Then the next verse talks about the cause of separation from the Lord. Why did we separate ourselves from the Lord? It is nicely described in text 14. Yah pancha bhuta rachite rahita sharire. Channo yatendriya gunartha chidatma koham. Tenavukuntha mahimanam rishim tamenam. Vande param prakriti purashayo pumamsam.
I am separated from the Supreme Lord because of my being in this material body, which is made of five elements, and therefore my qualities and senses are being misused, although I am essentially spiritual. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to material nature and the living entities, because he is devoid of such a material body, and because he is always glorious in his spiritual qualities, I offer my obeisances unto him.
So what is the cause of our separation right now? Because of our embodiment in this body of body made of the five elements. So here in this nice comparison between our body and the Supreme Lord's body is given here. So Prabhupada takes that theme in the purport. The difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord is that the living entity is prone to be subjected to material nature, whereas the Supreme Lord is always transcendental to material nature as well as to the living entities. When the living entity is put into material nature, then his senses and qualities are polluted or designated. What is this technically called? Okay. Designation. Upadhi. Right? So there is no possibility for the Supreme Lord to become embodied by material qualities or material senses, for his above the influence of material nature. So when he is freed from this material body, which is false, he attains the same spiritual nature as the Supreme Lord. At that time, there is no qualitative difference between him and the Supreme Lord. So that is the whole point. This understanding that this body is mine, or right now I'm being embodied by this element, that is the cause of our separation with the Supreme Lord. So the moment we understand our qualitative oneness with the Supreme Lord, we are automatically liberated from material understanding, even though while we are residing in the body. Right? So like how Bhagavad Gita says, even such a liberated soul, even though residing in the city of nine gates and performing all the activities of the bodies, he is happily be there, neither doing nor anything or causing anything to be done. Like that. So therefore, the entire process of devotional service is to purify oneself for this contamination of material nature and put oneself on this spiritual platform where he is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. This liberation is achieved by Krishna consciousness, which begins from the point of surrender. Therefore, it is said here, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Person. It's like that. Vande Param Prakriti Purushayo Pumamsam. So that Vande, why is he praying? Because finally it all begins with Sharanagati. So, repentance, Mahatma, Sharanagati. That is a sequence. So then, next verse, very, 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 very important verse and powerful purport. We'll read that entire purport word to word. Yanmaya roru guna karma nibadhanesmin. Samsarike paticharam stad abhishramena. Nashtasmritir punarayam purnav. Nashtasmritir punar ayam pravrinita lokam yuktyakaya mahat anugraham antarena.
The human soul further prays. The living entity is put under the influence of material nature and continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional life is due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord?
Right. So, what is the reason for our bondage? Forgetfulness. Nashta smritir. This is a very important philosophical point to understand. Because... okay, we'll read the purport also and we'll discuss gradually. The Mayavadi philosophers say that simply by cultivation of knowledge, by mental speculation, one can be liberated from the condition of material bondage. It is through jnana alone that one can reclaim one's condition, one's overcome this conditioning, right? But here it is said that one is liberated not by knowledge but by mercy of the Supreme Lord. So basically we have to understand, in the entire gamut of spiritual paths, all the different systems of spiritual development, there are basically only two paths. What are they? The path of jnana and path of bhakti. Right? What does the path of jnana entail? It says that by cultivation of knowledge, right? First of all, why are we in this condition? What are the five coverings that Brahmaji gave us? Okay, these are the five kinds of ignorance. But what are the five coverings that which we get? This is from which chapter you said? 12th chapter, right? Classification of living entities. Okay. I think in that next chapter or in the previous chapter, there are five more things which Brahmaji gave us. Forgetfulness. False identity. Attachment. Aversion. Last. Who remember, fear of death. Who remembers the Sanskrit for them? Panch ho gaya. Who remembers the Sanskrit? Yes, Prabhu. Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha, Abhinivesha. Always remember this. Very important point. Because, why it is important? The other systems of philosophy also quote this. That is why. If you read Jnana books, you will see this. If you read Yoga books, you will see this. If you read Sankhya books, you will see this. So, this is like the common language. When you are talking to other Sampradaya people, you can quote this without any hesitation. They will understand. Like that. So anyway, how does it work? First thing that you as soon as the jiva enters the material world, it gets a boink on the head. Toing. Then avidya forgets everything. Then once he forgets everything, Then he is told, oh, you are the body. Ah, okay, Asmita. False identity comes. Once you become the body, then what will happen? What is good for the body, I like. What is not good for the body, I don't like. So raga and dvesha come. Right? And in the process of maintaining this body, you become so attached to it that anything that will separate you from the body, you become very fearful. And what is that biggest thing that separates you from the body? Death. So abhinivesha. That is fear of death. That is basically fear of losing your existence. Abhinivesha literally means that you lose your existence by death. Therefore fear of death. So raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. These are the five coverings of maya that which covers a jiva. Then you are qualified to be in the material world. Why? What makes you so qualified to be in the material world with these five things? You will be miserable. If I tell you that you are a billionaire, will you be happy sitting here on the floor and sharing your bathroom every day with 30 people in the morning, waiting in line to take bath? Right? Every moment of your life will be miserable. You'll be thinking, oh my God, I wish I had all my billions of dollars with me right now. So first thing, for you to be happy in this material world, you should forget that you are son of a billionaire. So all your spiritual memories should be first covered. Not wiped out, but covered. That is what avidya does. So maya has first potency is avarnatmika. Then free kick. Prakshetnatmika, right? So like that. So then that is what maya does. So then why I am explaining all this is our whole goal of spirituality is what? Again? Huh? Abhideya, abhideya, not prayojan. Abhideya kya hai amara? Okay, what is the logic or the principle behind all our abhideya activities? Dalvin relationship, always remember Krishna. Reviving our consciousness, nashta smritir. Though nashta smritir ho gaya, wo smriti ko vapas lana hai. So basically, our bhakti acharyas, they explain that this avidya is like amnesia. Amnesia pata hai na? Kya hota hai? Kabhi film nahi dekha kya aapne bachpan mein, Bollywood? Yaddasht kho gaya. Right? So, jab yaddasht kho jata, when you forget your memory, how do you revive the memory? Shock. Haan, the heroine has to sing the same song again. Na? The theme song of the movie has to be sung. And in the same garden also, wearing the same dress. Right? Then only the memory comes back. So, our bhakti approach is like that. What we try to do is, this nashta smriti, we try to revive by giving the same uddipan. Uddipan means impetus. Right? In spiritual world, everybody is singing Krishna's glories. So we do in a regulated way, every day we sing Krishna's glories. In spiritual world, everybody is feasting every moment. So we have regulated once in a month feast by Rasi Gaur Hari Prabhu's mercy. Right? Or we eat prasad every day. In spiritual world, everybody is always worshipping Krishna. So we have a regulation, okay. So many aartis we do in a day, there is glorification of Krishna, like that. So in spiritual world, there are loving dealings between Brajvasis, we try our best. We try our best and with lot of seminars and compassionate communication and ye wo kuch to jugaad karke, somehow we try to maintain cordial loving relationships among Vaishnavas. We try all our best. Why are we doing all this? These are uddipan to revive our nashta smriti. This is the technique of the Bhakti Mark. There is an alternative way of reviving memory, which is shock treatment. That is the path of Jnana. Kathor tapasya. Right? Do lot of austerities. Stand, do Shirshasana for 1 month continuously. Right? Do tapasya. Like Hiranyakashipu, stand on your toes, control your prana vayus, balance yourself, stay like this for like thousands of years. Then also you can revive your memory. But that is shock treatment. So that also works. But the point is, one is the monkey path, other is the cat path. Right? You remember this analogy Prabhupada gave? What is monkey? What is cat? The baby monkey holds on to the mother by its own effort. That is the path of Jnana. Tapasya that they, the, because mother is jumping here and there, doesn't bother to hold the baby monkey. The poor little baby just desperately holds on to his life. Kahin gir gaya to gaya ho gaya uska. So it holds on. So one mistake in the path of Jnana, you have to succumb. Again, start again. Of course, not start again, but it's very difficult. But whereas bhakti means marjala, cat. The mother kitten, it holds the tiger cub. It holds onto the cub by its neck and carries it from one place to another. All that the kitten has to do is enjoy the ride. That's all. So, but the point here is, in both the paths, it is the mother which is moving and taking them from one stage to another. Got it? Whether it's monkey or cat, finally it is a mother which is taking it from one tree to another, or one location to another, or one level to a higher level. So therefore, when Prabhupada wrote in this purport here, that whether here it is said one is liberated not by knowledge but by mercy of the Supreme Lord. The aspect of mercy of the Supreme Lord is important. Whichever path, the second statement I am reading here. This mercy of the Lord, Ishvara Kripa, Mahat Anugraham, Antarena, without the mercy of the Lord, one cannot make progress whether you are a jnani or whether you are a bhakta. Take it for granted. So even the so-called jnanis who think they are making advancement by themselves are falsely mistaken. They are thinking that they are doing it by themselves, but actually it is not. It is all happening again by anugraha of the Lord only. Like that. So therefore, let's take the direct path of bhakti. Like that. Then the purport continues. The knowledge the conditioned soul gains by mental speculation, however powerful it may be, is always too imperfect to approach the absolute truth. It is said that without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand Him or His actual form, qualities and names. Those who are not in devotional service go on speculating for many, many thousands of years, but they are still unable to understand the nature of the Absolute Truth. Even the so-called jnanis and yogis also, they say that Ishvara Pranidhana is important in your path. Even in the path of Jnana Yoga, they have 7 stages. They are called bhumikas, 7 bhumikas. It's all fresh in my memory. Right? I had to write exam on all this. So one of their stages, Ishvara Pranidhana is one of their important steps. Likewise, even for yogis also, for the Ashtanga yogis also, Ishvara Pranidhana is one of their important steps. Right? So, of course, for them, it is like a little garnishing. Thoda, how you use coriander on top of, you know, the sabzi after it's prepared. Right? But for us, we like coriander chutney itself completely. So if it's pure, unalloyed bhakti is what we want. But the point is, whichever path you are in, the dependence on a higher power is always there. Like that. So now, one can be liberated in the knowledge of the absolute truth simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly said herein that our memory is lost because we are now covered by His material energy. Arguments may be put forward as to why we have been put, and now this particular paragraph talks about fall of the jiva. So all your childhood questions will be answered now, in case they haven't been answered. It is clearly said that it is because of loss of memory. Arguments may put forward as to why we have been put under the influence of material energy by the supreme will of the Lord. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord said, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and due to me, one is forgetful or one is alive in knowledge. The forgetfulness of the conditioned soul is also due to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A living entity misuses his little independence when he wants to lord it over material nature. This misuse of independence, which is called Maya, is always available. Otherwise, there would be no independence. Independence implies that one can use it properly or improperly. It is not static, it is dynamic. Therefore, misuse of independence is the cause of being influenced by Maya. So once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was explaining this concept to one person. So he asked, can Krishna not create living entities without free will? Can or cannot Krishna make free jivas without free will? What would your answer be? Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the answer which Bhaktisiddhanta gave. He said that Jivara Swarupa Krishna Nityadas. So Krishna is Supreme Swarat. So he is Vibhu, we are Anu. So we also have finite free will. But my question to all of you is, can Krishna create something without free will? Who can answer this question? Yes, Prabhuji. Sorry? Okay, he can create but he doesn't want to. But I am saying Krishna created many things without free will. Yeah, it's called matter. Right? So the point is, if you do not want free will, it is called matter. But the point, but jiva means by intrinsically by nature means it has to have free will. That is the very definition of jiva. You know, it's like saying salty sugar. It's an illogical statement. Or can Krishna make square circles? Maybe he can. We cannot understand. It will either look like a square or it look like a circle. It cannot look like a square circle to us. So these are illogical arguments. Sometimes some people raise these kind of arguments. So these are illogical. Jiva means it has to have free will. But Anu, minute free will. So then it comes. Where are we? Maya. Maya is so strong that the Lord says that it is very difficult to surmount her influence. But one can do so very easily if he surrenders unto me. Mameva prapadyante. Like that. So the point is that it is clearly stated here that the living entity is put under the influence of Maya by his will. And if anyone wants to get out of this entanglement, this can also be made possible by his mercy. So remember, mercy is the key string in this verse. Prabhupada in various paragraphs and sentences trying to derive the point that without Lord mercy, one cannot disassociate oneself from material entanglement. Then, the activities of the conditioned souls and the influence of material nature are explained here. Every conditioned soul is engaged in different types of work under the influence of material nature. We can see in the material world that the conditioned soul acts so powerfully that he is playing wonderfully in creating the so-called advancements of material civilization for sense gratification. But actually his position, in perfect knowledge, he knows that the Lord is the supreme wonderful object and that the living entity is his eternal servant. Without this knowledge, he engages in material activities. This is called ignorance. Like that. So basically, this last paragraph is all about defining what is conditioned activities. Like that. So the first paragraph talks about mercy. Second paragraph about how the jiva falls down. Third paragraph about mameva prapadyante. Fourth paragraph about conditioned activities. Like that. Then, okay, so if the goal is to listen to that song, who will sing the song for us then? Who knows the song? Who has already heard the song? The spiritual master. One has to take shelter of the spiritual master so that he can teach us the song. So that is highlighted in the next verse. Jnanam yadetat adhat katamah sadevas Traikalikam sthiracharesh anuvratitas samshah Tam jiva karma padavim anuvartamanas Tapatrayopa samanaya vayam bhajema.
No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a localized Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord, is directing all inanimate and animate objects. He is present in the three phases of time, time past, present and future. Therefore, the conditioned soul is engaged in different activities by his direction in order to get free from the threefold miseries of this conditional life. We have to surrender unto him only.
Time past, not time pass. So then, you read it right. Some of us heard it in a different way. Like that. So therefore, so when a conditioned soul is seriously anxious to get out of the influence of material clutches, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated within his heart as Paramatma, gives him the knowledge, surrender. Like that. So again, Prabhupada quotes, Matta Smriti Vijnanam Apanancha. So what does he do? How does he give the smriti? He directs such a living entity towards the shelter of a spiritual master. Like that. So this knowledge cannot be imparted by anyone other than the Supreme Lord or his representatives. Unless he is enlightened with the supreme knowledge, one has to undergo the several penalties of the hard struggle for existence in the material nature. The spiritual master is therefore the mercy manifestation of the supreme person. The conditioned soul has to take direct instruction from the spiritual master, and thus he gradually becomes enlightened to the path of Krishna consciousness. The seed of Krishna consciousness is sown within the heart of the conditioned soul. When one hears instructions from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies and one's life is blessed. So the instructions of the spiritual master are like that love song, which is going to revive all our memory back. The Nashta Smriti comes back by listening to the instructions of the spiritual master. Like that. That is why the process of hearing is so important in our bhakti process. Like that. Okay, 11:45, you want a break? Hare Krishna. So recently I saw one documentary called as The Tibetan Book of the Dead. Kabhi dekha hai kisi ne? Suna hai? So it's a very interesting documentary. It's there on YouTube, you can all watch it. The part 2 of the documentary is very good. So unka in Tibet, their belief is that how the soul is, after it leaves the body, it is still wandering around the body for 49 days. So they don't bury the body, ghar mein rakhte hain body 49 days. And utna thanda bhi hai, to body sadta bhi nahi hai. Body doesn't decompose there. So it's 49 days they keep the body. And for 49 days, it's like a counseling session for the dead body. So they read verses saying that, oh Jiva, they have a name, Jiva equivalent name they have. Oh Jiva, give up your attachment for this body. Give up your attachment for your beautiful wife and children and father and mother and everyone. Now understand, go into the immortal light. For them, immortal light is the goal. But anyway, go into the immortal light. Now, and they also say that how, their interpretation of hell and heaven is slightly different. I mean, it's similar also if you can understand. Basically, hell and heaven are little psychic planes for them. Because the psychic plane means what? Because we don't have our gross body with us there. It's subtle body which is carrying. Sukshma Sharira is carrying them there. So for them, hell and heaven is like a plane where only the Sukshma Sharira can exist. So the mind, it gets various, like how we hallucinate. Sometimes we get dream of a hellish place, for example. So the body similarly experiences like that. So in the dead state, the soul covered by the sukshma sharira, it undergoes various as a hallucination. So they very in a nice animated way, they show all the hallucinations of the soul at that time and how it goes through certain hellish experiences or heavenly experiences, how the different kind of, they also have Yamadutas. So the Yamadutas pictures and all in the traditional paintings, they were having it. So they show all that in animation like that. And finally, after 49 days, the thing is, during those 49 days, though it is undergoing these hallucinations, it is still hovering around the body. So it can listen to the sound vibrations of this book. And that is how they kind of like subtly are giving coaching to the soul how to leave the body. And then finally, if the coaching is successful, the body goes into a human form. For them, getting human form is advancement. If it is unsuccessful, it will become an animal or something like that. But it's all within a short vicinity only. They say he became an animal in that forest there. Or the priest, whoever was reading the book, he can see also what is happening. So he tells, or others he'll say, yes, he is born as this child in this particular house in this village. Okay, he tells. Like that. So, that is the point. There's no counseling when he's alive. Ideally, he should have got counseling when he was alive. Right? But after, so that's called the Tibetan book. Basically, it's like a guided passage for the person to leave the body. Post-death, what it should be doing, like that. So anyway, that was just to wake all of you up from the... So where are we? Text number 17. देहन्य देह विवरे जठराग्निनास्रग चटनाग्निनास विन्मूत्रकूप पतितो भृशतप्त देहः इच्छन् इतो विवति सुंगणयन् स्वमासान् निर्वास्यते कृपणधीर् भगवान् कदानु.
Fallen into a pool of blood, stool and urine within the abdomen of his mother, his own body scorched by the mother's gastric fire, the embodied soul, anxious to get out, counts his months and prays, O my Lord, when shall I, a wretched soul, be released from this confinement?
So already that poor child in the womb is suffering so much, and to add to the misery, sometimes people end up aborting such child. Right? So, I mean, I was once watching an animation of what exactly happens. One human rights society people, they circulated a video. They showed in an animation what exactly happens. So literally, the child in the embryo is literally ripped to pieces. They just remove it like that. Like once they pull, the leg comes out. Then the other leg comes. Then the torso comes out. Then finally the head comes. Or other way around. First head, right? So that is a torture which they are doing to the abortion is such a heinous crime, right? They just already the poor jiva is suffering so much in the womb, uske upar or extra torture they are doing like that. So the so-called civilized man does not take into account this horrible condition of life, and sometimes for the purpose of sense gratification he even tries to kill the child by abortion. Unserious about the horrible condition in the womb, such persons continue in materialism, grossly misusing the chance of the human form of life. So the prayer talks about Kripanadhi, right? How wretched I am, Kripanadhi, person of miserly intelligence. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he talks about Kripanadhi and the Udaradhi. Who are Udaradhi? Very magnanimous. Those who preach Krishna consciousness. The Brahmanas are called Udara because he simply utilizes his human intelligence for spiritual realization. He uses that intelligence to preach Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the public, and therefore he is magnanimous. Like that. So therefore, next few verses talk about the principle of gratitude. next two verses talk about gratitude and how he does not want to fall into Maya again. That will be in the prayers, theme of the prayers. Yene drishim gati masau dashamasya isha sangrahita purudayena bhavadrishena sveneva tasyuta kritena sadina nathaha ko nama tat prati vinanjalim asya kuryat.
My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness, although I am only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands.
Right. Anjalim asya kuryat. With folded hands I am praying. This is the verse I was talking about. So don't think that all these prayers are all, you know, asa kuch stories which... Who heard the prayers? How did Sukhdev Goswami write all this, speak all this? Or how did Kapila Muni speak about all this? Did he hear all the prayers? So an atheistic may argue like that. So Prabhupada writes the purport. The prayers of the child in the womb may be questioned by some atheistic people. How can a child pray in such a nice way, Sanskrit mein? Even while awake and after becoming 30 years, I can't speak Sanskrit. How can the child in the womb speak Sanskrit like that? And such nice eloquent poetry. In such a nice way in the womb of the mother, everything is possible by the grace of the Lord. The child is put into such a precarious condition externally, but internally he is the same and the Lord is there. By the transcendental energy of the Lord, everything is possible. So like that. So everybody, whichever part of the world you are from, you all were praying in Sanskrit when you were in the womb. It's only that after we came out of the womb, we forgot Sanskrit. Jiva in Satya Yoga. Now we are praying in French or English or something. Then text number 19. Further prayers of gratitude. Yes. Sorry. After 9 months, it is supposed to come out, right? 9 months and 9 days. Yeah, it's same. After 9th month, it is the 10th month. No? There are still 9 more days. In the 10th, 9 months and 9 days is a gestation period in human beings. So, the last 9 days mein ye prayer hai. When cows also have a 9 month, 9 day gestation period, by the way. No. Everybody doesn't have a 9 months period. Like dogs are very less. Anybody? Any veterinarian here? Somebody should give answer now. Google. Gopinath, Google and tell me. Gestation period in dogs. As every animal has different. Elephants have very long gestation period. As a... Jiva prays in human form only. Yes. That also verse comes later on. Because it prays that I could have got so many other forms, but now I specially got a form in which I can control my senses. My dear Lord, thank you for that. Abhi next prayer hi aata hai shayad. Arre, next prayer hi hai. Let's read that. 19. No, but this verse actually talks about that how in human form it prays. It is grateful that I'm going to get human form now. Pashyat ayam dishanayan anu saptavardhi sharira kedama sharir aparah swadehe yasrishcha yasam tamaham purusham puranam pashye bahir hridicha chaityam iva pratitam.
The living entity is another type of body, sees only by instinct. He knows only the agreeable and disagreeable sense perceptions of that particular body. But I have a body in which I can control my senses and can understand my destination. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom I have been blessed with this body and by whose grace I can see Him within and without.
Like that. So in one particular type of body, one only sees by instinct. Matlab kya ho gaya? Seeing by instinct. They don't have any physical senses. Like for example, a tree. A tree which if it is close to a water body, the roots automatically by instinct they go towards that. Or wherever there is light, it goes towards the light. It is working by instinct. It doesn't have physical senses as such. Another form of body is what you all mentioning about. He only knows agreeable and disagreeable sense perceptions. I like this, I don't like this. If I like this, I will go in this direction. If I don't like this, I will stay away from. That is animal instinct. Like, if you put a carrot in front of a donkey, the donkey will move because that is, it has agreeable instinct. Right? If you put Karela in front of Brahmacharis, they will not go. So, like that. So, that is not what we should be doing. Today is Karela. Okay. Somehow I missed it today. So, but I have a body in which I can control my senses now and then can understand my destination. Therefore, I offer my respect. So, again, he is expressing his gratitude for getting human form of life. So, Prabhupada writes, the evolutionary process of different types of bodies is something like that of a fructifying flower. There is systematic progress from lower species to higher species. So from bud to slightly blossoming bud to fully blossomed bud. These are all the vikasita chetana. The chetana is slowly blossoming. Consciousness is slowly blossoming. The human form of life is supposed to be the highest, for it offers consciousness for getting out of the clutches of birth and death. The fortunate child in the womb of his mother realizes his superior position and is thereby distinguishing himself from other bodies like that. So therefore it is praying. So why is it praying? Because it has now a dama shariri. Dama means? Kshama, dama. Dama is? Control over senses. So this body is where I have power to control my senses. As an animal, I just succumb to my instincts of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But as a human being, I can transcend that. So therefore, distinction between an animal and a man is, animal cannot control himself and has no sense of decency. Whereas human beings has a sense of decency and can control himself. Like that. So therefore, if a human being does not have decency, he is dvipada pashu. Like that. Therefore, it prays in the next verse that, my dear Lord, I don't want to fall into Maya again. Let me stay here and suffer. I don't want to come out of the womb. Soham vasana pivibho bahu dukkhavasam garbhanna nirjigamise bahirandhakupe yatropayatam upasarpati deva maya mithyamathir yad anusamsiti chakrametat.
Therefore, my Lord, although I am living in a terrible condition, I do not wish to depart from my mother's abdomen to fall again into the blind well of materialistic life. Your external energy called Devamaya at once captures the newly born child and immediately false identification, which is the beginning of the cycle of continual birth and death, begins.
Like that. So what is it saying? Garbha na. I don't want to leave the garbha and go where? Bahir andhakupe. Which is andhakupa? Which is dark like a well. Actually speaking, the womb is like dark like a well. But the intelligent jiva is saying the whole material world is like a dark like a well. I prefer to stay inside the womb than to go outside into the dark well. Like that. So as long as child is within the womb of his mother, he is very precarious and horrible condition of life. But the benefit is that he revives his pure consciousness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord and prays for the deliverance. Like that. But of course, the point is not whether you are inside the womb or outside the womb. The point is whether are you Krishna conscious or not. Real knowledge means to develop the consciousness of I am not this body, I am spirit soul, an eternal part and parcel of Supreme Lord. Real knowledge entails renunciation or non-acceptance of this body as the self. So Prabhupada gives the example of Sukhdeva Goswami. How he wanted to stay in the womb, he continued staying for another 16 years. Don't explain to such people. And don't tell such people about this, first of all. You know, like that Prabhupada, once some Prabhupada disciple, they went to preach to someone and he picked up Krishna book and started explaining how Jarasandha's army had some 100 crore foot soldiers. And that time the world population also was not 100 crores or something like that. So then they started debating. Then finally they came back and they asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, how do we convince such people about such numbers? Prabhupada looked at that fellow, his disciple, and said, out of all the things in Krishna book, is this the only thing that you could find to preach to this new guy? About talking about 100 crore foot soldiers of Jarasandha. You should be expert in carefully confusing them by telling something else. Like how I am doing right now. Like that. So then, you got a live demonstration of the answer. So then, he finally concludes by praying to his best friend. Who is our best friend? Who's our best friend? Who's our best friend? What does Bhagavad Gita say? Who's our best friend? The controlled mind is the best friend. Tasmadaham vigata viklava udharishya Atmanam ashutamasah suhurdatmanaiva Bhuyo yatha vyasanam etad anekarandham Mame bhavishyat upasadita vishnupadah.
Therefore, without being agitated anymore, I shall deliver myself from the darkness of nascence with the help of my friend, clear consciousness. Simply by keeping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in my mind, I shall be saved from entering into the wombs of many mothers from repeated birth and death.
Like that. So that is how he prays, that let me deliver myself from the darkness of nishayance with the help of the controlled mind, which is a clear consciousness. Like that. Here it is stated, Upashadita Vishnupada. This means realization of Krishna consciousness. One who is intelligent by the grace of the Lord and develops Krishna consciousness is successful in his life, because simply by keeping himself in Krishna consciousness, he will be saved from the repetition of birth and death. Like that. Okay, this is a very nice statement of Prabhupada. The illusory energy acts within the abdomen as well as outside the abdomen. But the trick is, one should remain Krishna conscious, and then the effect of such a horrible condition cannot act favorably upon him. So it is not that one is safely inside the womb, there is no Maya. Because by reading all this, one may say, oh, looks like the influence of Maya is not there inside the womb. How can it happen? So it is not like that. Maya is there everywhere. The point is, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one's intelligence is his best friend, and the same intelligence can also be his enemy. So like that. Here also it is repeated. Suhrut Atmaneva, friendly intelligence. Absorption of intelligence in the personal service of Krishna and full consciousness of Krishna always are the path of self-realization and liberation. Like that. So therefore, without being unnecessarily agitated, if we take to the process of Krishna consciousness by constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the cycle of birth and death can be stopped for good. Bandhu Reva Atma Atmanam. So mind also is a best friend. It is Bandhu. Hita. Bandhu is one who cares for us, yeah. Suhrut is the best friend, of course, yeah. Like that. Another question one may ask. If the child wants to stay in the womb to perfect its life, where are the paraphernalia? It doesn't have kartal, it doesn't have altar inside the womb. How will it do bhakti? Right? So that is the point. So one does not need any material arrangement to cultivate Krishna consciousness. One can cultivate Krishna consciousness anywhere and everywhere, provided he can always think of Krishna. Therefore, Mahamantra can be chanted even inside one's womb. One can chant while sleeping. We are all experienced in doing that. While working, while imprisoned in the womb or while outside. Like that. Krishna consciousness cannot be checked in any circumstances. The conclusion of the child's prayer is, let me remain in this condition, although it is very miserable. It is better not to fall a victim to Maya again by going outside. Like that. So that's it, prays. So then, somehow it can't stay there. It is not Sukhdeva Goswami. Right? So it has to come out. And as soon as it comes out, it again gets covered, it again gets into bondage. That is described in the next last section of this chapter. Text number 22. Kapila Uvacha. Evam Kritamatir Garbhe. Dasamasasya Stuvan Rishihi. Sadhya Kshiptya Avachinam. Prasut.
Lord Kapila continued, the 10-month-old living entity has these desires even while in the womb. But while he thus exalts the Lord, the wind that helps parturition propels him forth with his face turned downward so that he may be born.
Like that. So then he is finally born. The process of giving birth is called as parturition. Like then, tena vasravata sahasa kritva vakshira aturaha vinikshamati kritchena nirushvaso hatasmritihi.
Pushed downwards all of a sudden by the wind, the child comes out with great trouble, head downward, breathless and deprived of memory due to severe agony.
Right. So as soon as he comes out of the mother's womb, the Prabhupada writes, with great difficulty it comes out through the narrow passage, and sometimes the pressure is so intense that sometimes our breath also stops. So it's such a traumatic experience that it forgets all the Sanskrit. It forgets all the prayers that it made in the womb and comes out crying. Only thing it knows is crying. Like that. So then, Patito Bhuvya Shrin Mishraha Vishta Bhuri Vachet Cheshtate Roru Yati Gata Gyane Gate Gyane Viparitam Gatim Gataha.
The child thus falls on the ground, smeared with stool and blood, and plays just like a worm germinated from the stool. He loses his superior knowledge and cries under the spell of Maya.
So all the beauty from the birth is completely shattered if you read Bhagavatam. Right? Otherwise, child birth is portrayed in such a beautiful, poetic way. So here the birth of the child is just compared to like a worm germinating from stool. That is what birth is from Bhagavatam's perspective. Of course, when Lord Krishna took birth, that is a celebration. That is glorified in a very beautiful way. Parachandam na vidusha pushyamano janena saha anabhipretam apannaha pratyayuktam anishvaraha.
After coming out of the abdomen, the child is given to the care of persons who are unable to understand what he wants. and thus he is nursed by such persons. Unable to refuse whatever is given to him, he falls into undesirable circumstances.
So I don't know if any of you have seen a newborn child, you know. Everybody thinks they have understood the child properly. and they start doing things as if they can really understand, but this is a real condition, right? So first of all his 9 months he's been suffering. Then when he comes out, Prabhupada writes, but upon coming out of the abdomen of the child, he falls into different atmosphere. He wants to eat one thing, but he is given something else. Sometimes he cries for the mother's breast milk, but then the nurse thinks it's because of pain he's crying, so she gives him some bitter medicine. Like that. Das is always put in, because he cannot communicate. Right? Whatever he has, exactly something else happens. So the poor child is suffering more and more. Then, Shaito Shuchi Pratyanke, Shaito Shuchi Paryanke, Jantu Sveda Jadushite, Nishe Kandu Yaneyanganam, Kandu Yaneyanganam, Asanottana Cheshtane.
Laid down on a foul bed, infested with sweat and germs, the poor child is incapable of scratching his body to get relief from his itching sensation, to say nothing of sitting up, standing, or even moving.
Right? So it has pain, it has itching, but it cannot scratch itself. Right? It cannot tell anybody that I am feeling itching sensation. It's a completely miserable condition. Right? Then what happens? Tudyantamattamam damsa, tvacham damsa, masakha matkunadayaha, rudantam vigatah jnanam, karmayaha krimikam yatha.
In this helpless condition, gnats, mosquitoes, bugs and other germs bite the baby, whose skin is tender, just as smaller worms bite a big worm. The child, deprived of his wisdom, cries bitterly.
So the word vigata jnanam means that the spiritual knowledge the child developed in the abdomen is already lost due to spell of maya, like that. So poor fellow has forgotten everything. Right? Now, these are all the childhood miseries. Then when he grows up, more miseries begins. Why? Because after he grows up, what happens? Which is the biggest misery of boyhood? You have to go to school. So that begins. Ityevam shaishavam bhuktva dukham paugandam evacha alabdhabhipsito jnanat iddhamanyu shucharpitaha.
In this way, the child passes through his childhood, suffering different kinds of distress, and attains boyhood. In boyhood also, he suffers pain over desires to get things he can never achieve. And thus, due to ignorance, he becomes angry and sorry.
Like that. So the distress of childhood explained. Now, when he becomes boyhood, he is enrolled in a school, which he does not like. He wants to play, but he's forced to go to school and study and take responsibility for passing examinations. Another kind of distress is he wants to get something which he wants to play, but circumstances may be such that he may not attain them. So thus he feels aggrieved and feels pain. In other words, he's unhappy even in his boyhood, just as he was unhappy in childhood, what to speak of youth. Boys are apt to create so many artificial demands for playing. And when they do not attain satisfaction, they become furious with anger and the result is suffering. So it's not that the situation is becoming better and better as you grow up. In fact, life only gets miserable as you grow up. When you are a little child, you are always thinking, "Arey, school, college days are good. I see all those big school mein dekho kitna time pe itna ye class hota hai, no freedom at all. College life is good." Then when you enter into college, you are thinking, "Arey, no, I think university days will be better." Then when you enter into university, you think, "Arey, yaar, so many deadlines. Now you are responsible. You don't get grant if you don't please the professor." Right? You think, no, job life will be good. Then once you get into job, it becomes even more miserable. Right? So life only gets miserable as years progress. Like that. Then what happens? You develop enmity with other people. One saint,
Mike. They said, Gaura Maharaj, Lahant Pana Dega Deva, Mungi Sakareca Khada. that give me the childhood so that by becoming it and I can eat the sugar like that. There is no distress, nothing.
Okay. So like that. Then what happened? Sahadehena manena. Vardhamanena manyuna. Karoti vigraham kami. Kamishvatyatma chatmanaha.
With the growth of the body, the living entity, in order to vanquish his soul, increases his false prestige and anger, and thereby creates enmity towards similarly lusty people.
Like that. So then as he grows up, you know, it begins with, or he has bat signed by Virat Kohli, I want bat signed by MS Dhoni. Then later on, no, he has, you know, some big car, I also want bigger car. Right? He has beautiful wife, I want beautiful wife. So it all begins like that. The enmity begins with other similarly lusty people. So it increases false prestige and anger like that. So it all comparison. So the virus of comparison, criticism, right? Though we are putting it all in a very humorous way here, this is applicable to all of us. Right? The only reason why we are miserable is because we compare. We compare ourselves. We criticize others, right? So that is the cancer of the mind. What is the third C? Compete. Yes, compare, criticize and compete. So because of these three cancers of the mind, we are making our life miserable. Otherwise, there is absolutely no reason for you to be miserable. Did anybody tell you that you will not get prasad if you fail in today's assignment? Yes, Sachit Prabhu? Did Rasik Gaurhari tell you something like that? Otherwise you tell me, I'll talk to him separately. Right? Everybody will get their quota of Mahaprasad. Everybody will get their quota of festival sweet. Doesn't matter. Right? So in a sense, they're afraid of me. Okay. Right? So in a sense, you know, the ashram setup that we all have here, you know, it's such a conducive environment. Many of you might be remembering how life was so competitive early, right? Here, automatically that atmosphere is not there, but somehow we bring forward those impressions even in a devotional environment. Even while dealing with other devotees also, we bring in that sense of, you know, comparison and competition, and that only makes our own life miserable. The other fellow with whom you are competing must be bindas, enjoying life. But just looking at the other person, you are setting false pressures over you and false expectations over you and making your own life miserable. The person with whom you are competing might not, the devotee with whom you are competing might not even know. Yeah, he must be like aloof, happily bindas, singing, chanting, dancing, feasting. He is happy. But you are falsely setting a comparison standard, because that is a samskaras we brought in from our previous backgrounds. Right, so that is the only thing which is making our life miserable. So therefore, how to overcome this? Yeah.
With the growth of the body, the entire living entity, in order to vanquish his soul. What exactly Prabhupada is referring to?
Yeah. Vanquish means to come out better in a competition, race or conflict. That is a dictionary meaning. Prabhupada knows perfectly which word to use. Right? Usually we think vanquish means to destroy, right? No, it's not like that. To beat out your competition is vanquishing. So you vanquish your enemies. In a competition, you do vanquishing. So like that. So this sense of competition comes in. So there's a nice purport where Prabhupada writes, to raise oneself from hellish life to the highest position of spiritual understanding is to transform this lust into love of Krishna. Kama Krishna Karmarpane. Due to our lust, we want many things for our sense gratification, but the same lust can be transformed in a purified way so that we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does it mean? Kama Krishna Karmarpane means you offer your lust to Krishna. What does it mean? Which means you start wanting everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So how can you start wanting a beautiful girl for Krishna? Yes, Sachisut Prabhu, you have any ideas to share?
Krishna consciousness, family life, huh. If you want to. Otherwise, forget.
What about now?
Now consider that, I don't know.
The point is, it is not so easy. This Kama Krishna Karmarpana is not so easy. So right now initially we need lot of discipline. That is why the guidance of a spiritual master or the institutional rules and regulations, whatever we have, they are very important for us. It's not easy to dovetail everything. Right? Others will be confused. So mercifully, Sachisut Prabhu, he enacted this pastime just to show how the confusion prevails in the mind. Right? So that is how we also jump into the battlefield and then we become confused when the enemy comes in front of us. When the lust comes in front of us. Like that. So therefore, Baddhara Mukta, what is that? Falgara Yukta Baddhara Mukta Kabhina Janibu Duara Sabha. This difference between these two concepts. Bhaktisiddhanta, he writes in that Vaishnava ke prayer. Falgu Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya, Baddha Jiva and Mukta Jiva. Don't think you are such a Mukta person, you are liberated person that you can engage everything in Yukta Vairagya. No. Know where your feet are. If your feet are down in the ground, think you are Baddha Jiva and just humbly follow the rules and regulations. No harm in doing so. Take the safe path. We don't have to pretend that I am a Yukta Vairagi, I am so liberated that I can engage anything in Krishna's service. It's not so easy. Only a very, very advanced soul can do that. Like that. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has therefore recommended that because in material existence we have so many objects of sense gratification which we need for maintenance of body, we should use all of them without attachment for the purpose of satisfying the senses of Krishna. That is actual renunciation. So basically the point is, right now at our level, our renunciation works on the principle of repulsion. Right? If we are averse to something, therefore we are renounced from it. We are averse to all the hard work that we used to do in the office. The boss, we used to call the boss as Yamaraj. Right? All the people around in our office, colleagues as Karmis. Right? We used to use all these terminologies. Because of our aversion to all those things, we somehow ended up here. But that is not how our vehicle can go on long term. That may be a good step to begin with, but finally, that aversion has to gradually transform into dispassion. Because repulsion cannot drive our vehicle of bhakti for a long time. Repulsion to material energy will not drive you for a long time. Why? Why? This is a question which you should answer based on Kapila's teachings, which I already hinted 45 minutes back. Okay. So, Dvesha is one of the coverings. So you cannot overcome that by Dvesha. Okay. Yes. So what is a philosophical justification for developing positive taste? Like the Mayavadis, they say that renounce. How will you convince that person based on philosophy? So? Why higher taste? That is also Maya only. All Nama Rupas are all Maya in the material world. Says who? Says who? Is there any shastric praman for that statement? Yes, Sheshtapati Prabhu. What? Soul is active? That is conditioned state. But the same chapter 17-18, Atma Truptas, Atma Ratir, Atma Santushtas, he doesn't have to do anything. Krishna only told. Okay. Based on Kapila's teachings. Yes. Okay. Okay. Right, but how will we like explain in terms of dealings with our mind and senses? I mean, finally I am dealing with my mind and senses. Give me a practical answer where, how will I pacify my mind and senses? Yes, Sheshtapati Prabhu. Okay. Okay, bhoga tyaga pendulum will keep swinging between raga and dvesha like that. Okay. What else? Are we different from mind and senses? Is mind an illusion? Is mind an illusion? First of all, answer this question. Then you'll get the answer. Yes? Is mind an illusion? Does the mind exist? Yes. What is that word which is called? That wrongness is called? Vikara. See, remember this Vikara philosophy, because this is what our Vaishnavacharyas used to counter the Jnani's, Mayavadi's arguments. The Mayavadis say that the mind is an illusion, therefore neglect the mind. Our philosophy is not about neglecting the mind. Please, sometimes you may hear statements like Bhaktisiddhanta said that every day wake up in the morning and beat the mind with the boot, and in the night hit it with the broom. It is in the sense of disciplining the mind, but it is not that you are neglecting the mind or negating the mind or subduing the mind. Our philosophy is the mind is in a vikara state, it has to be made akara. So, by mind in itself has desires to serve Krishna, but because of the conditioning, it has changed its object of worship from Krishna to the jiva. So, what we have to do is that effect of ahankara has to be reversed. So, it is not by negation you can control the mind. The mind has to be brought back to its original position, its constitutional position. That is how you can undo the conditioning of the mind. The mind is a factual entity. It is as much factual as is creation and as is the jiva. So, we have to use the mind. Therefore, Prabhupada always uses the term dovetailing. Our philosophy is dovetailing philosophy. Right? We have to channelize the energy of the mind in a positive way. Simply by restricting the mind and, you know, aisa bandh ke rakhne se kuch hoga nahi hai. You can't just tie the mind and just keep it somewhere. No. That creative potency which is there in the mind, which otherwise channelizes in the form of selfish desires, has to be engaged positively in Krishna's service. Which one? Yes, there is a spiritual mind. What we together call as chitta, which is a repository of all feelings, emotions, is what the is like a mimic. See, like I said, urdhvamoolam adhishtakam, right? The material creation is like a recreation of the spiritual original design. So the spiritual emotions which are there with the spirit soul are recreated in the material realm through the means of the chitta, which comprises of man, buddhi and ahankar. So they have a purpose to be met like that. Yeah, exactly. So we have to retransform them back. So that's the whole point. Simply by repulsion, you cannot actually overcome the conditioning of the mind. You have to gradually give it a higher taste and make it dispassionate towards... There's a difference between the word dispassion and repulsion. What is the difference? In repulsion, there is a sense of hatred. You don't even want to go near it. But dispassion means you are very much engaging with it. Dispassion. Passion ka dispassion. Huh? Which means, like how we do japa, for example. It's a bad analogy, but unfortunately that is how it is. How do we do japa? Audasinyata. You heard this word? Apathy. Pura aisa karte hain jaise mera aur harinam ka kuch lena dena nahi hai. वो अपने माइंड पे, वो अपने ट्रैक पे चल रहा है, मेरा दिमाग अपने ट्रैक पे चल रहा है. एक्सटर्नली इट लुक्स लाइक यस, दिस फेलो इज सिटिंग एंड चैंटिंग पूरा विद फुल डिटर्मिनेशन एंड इंटरेस्ट एंड एज इफ ही इज गोइंग टू, प्रेमा इज गोइंग टू मैनिफेस्ट वेरी सून नाउ. बट इंटरनली वॉट इज हैपनिंग? कंप्लीट डिस्पैशन. यू आर इन योर ओन वर्ल्ड एंड जपा इज इन हिज ओन वर्ल्ड. सो लाइक दैट एन एडवांस सोल लाइक जनक महाराज फॉर एग्जाम्पल, he was very much in the realm of material energy, but he was completely dispassionate about it. So that is the standard. That is the quality of Yukta Vairagya. So it is a very, very, very advanced stage, Yukta Vairagya. Anyway, so then, yes, Prabhu.
Actually, how you connected vikar here? Well, finally, you said we have to develop the higher taste only, right? So, can you just now, again...
Developing the higher taste means we are not neglecting emotions. Your emotions to eat... the sense of satisfaction of eating good food, right? Like, for example, you may hear atyahara is bad. Eating palatable foodstuffs is bad. You hear a blank statement like that. So what a Mayavadi does is, from tomorrow I will only eat saltless food. I will take sabzi, rice, dal, chapati, water, mix everything and eat it. That is how they do. There is one sanstha where if you go there, their sadhus, their mahatmas, they do that. Everything is nicely cooked separately. But during serving, they put everything in one bowl. They add one jug water into it, mix it and drink it. Right? So that is not our procedure. What we say is, no. The emotion to eat good food, the happiness that is that you need, your emotional need to eat good food is there. We will satisfy that by giving it the channel of Krishna Prasad. Overeating is bad anywhere, but that emotional nourishment is there. We are not here to subdue our emotions. That is a difference. Many times what happens in our neophyteness, we tend to go to the other extreme. Sab maya hai. It's not like that. The mind is very much a factual living entity. Until you recognize this aspect, that actually mind is in a vikara state, you need to retransform it. The feelings and emotions of the mind are very much factual and real. They only need to have proper avenue to express them. Until you do not realize that, we will not be true to the teachings of the bhakti teachings or what Rupa Goswami has given to us like that. Does it make sense? Okay. Yeah. It means that whatever emotions that we have, they have to be fulfilled within the bona fide medium of bhakti. Like for example, having friendly dealings, like worldly dealings is bad, right? But it doesn't mean having dealings with Vaishnavas is bad. Machitta, Madgata Prana, Bodhinta Parasvam, these relations, these kind of dealings help us elevate. Right? So a blanket statement that association is bad is not right. Likewise, everything which is there, every negative tendency that we have, it actually has a positive way of meeting that particular emotional requirement. Like that. Okay? So then there is a nice book, maybe later on after the class I'll show you one book which His Holiness Suvota Swami Maharaj wrote a very nice book on this aspect. There's a whole very nice analysis of the mind he has done in the first chapter of that book, where he explains, he takes this theme of Manah Vikara and he writes about nature of the mind very nicely on that. Okay, so we are in text number 30. When are we supposed to end? 1:15? Really? Oh wow. Okay, translation time. By such ignorance, the living entity accepts the material body, which is made of five elements, as himself. With this misunderstanding, he accepts non-permanent things as his own and increases his ignorance in the darkest regions. So that is how once he comes out, then the ignorance deepens, then further bondage happens. How? For the sake of the body, which is a source of constant trouble to him, which follows him because he is bound by ties of ignorance and furtive activities, he performs various actions which cause him to be subjected to the birth and death. So like that. So then once he comes out and starts acting, more karma bandhan happens. So in the Parvat, Prabhupada talks about yajna versus misconceived activities. How? Again, action is binding, but that doesn't mean you have to stop acting. There are something called as positive actions, which is called yajna. When every action is performed in accordance to the yajna, then such an action is liberating. Misconceived actions are binding, but yajna is liberating. That's a point. Everything has a positive connotation like that. So Prabhupada in the Purport, he writes that how in today's society, all the so-called leaders are also misguiding people by giving them wrong action. There's no concept of yajna, they have forgotten, like that. Then, from text number 32 till the end of the chapter, the effects of bad association are spoken. If therefore the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people, engaged in the pursuit of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate, he again goes to hell as before. So again, back to Andhata Mishra. Why? What are the two things that binds them? Sexual enjoyment and gratification of the palate. Both are put synonymously. Jivera lalasa ei ityuti dhaya. Shishnodara parayana krishna nahi paya. Like that. So material life means eat, drink, be merry and enjoy. With no concern for understanding one's spiritual identity and the process of spiritual advancement. Like that. So to associate with such materialistic men is to commit purposeful suicide in the human form of life. So in fact, Prabhupada writes elsewhere that associating with Yoshit Sangha, next purport only it comes, those who are attached to the women as an object of enjoyment, it is worse than committing suicide. Why is that? Why is it worse than committing suicide? Because when you commit suicide, you kill yourself only once. But when you associate with such people, even the next birth you carry forward those samskaras and you're ruining your future birth also. So that is why bad association is even worse than suicide. Like that. What is the effect of that bad association? He becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of senses, fortune and all such opportunities. Then, text number 34, we'll read this verse. Teshvas tveshasa teshu mudheshu santeshu khanditatma asadhushu sangam na kuriya choshyeshu yoshit krida mrigeshu cha.
One should not associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a dancing dog in the hands of a woman.
Like that. So, yoshit krida mrigeshu. Krida mriga means a plaything, a play animal. So, Lord Chaitanya has advised that any person engaged in Krishna consciousness and who desires to pass beyond material nishtains must not associate himself with women or with persons interested in material enjoyment. Like that. For such a person, it is more dangerous than suicide. So, which is the biggest attachment that binds one? That next verse talks about it. The infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. Like that. That is the biggest attachment. So, there are many reasons for our conditioned life in the material world, but the topmost is association of women, which will be elaborated in the following stanzas. And Prabhupada Parpati writes how the Vedic psychology and modern psychology is such a contrast. In Vedic society, you can see Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Only in one order there was license given to associate with the woman. In modern society, even if you want to buy a product, even if you want to buy toothpaste, you have to see the photograph of a woman. So that is the extent to which it has changed. The psychological attraction for women is very great, and therefore, what is the effect of that? People become very slack in spiritual understanding. You can see that today in society. You want to talk and talk to people, preach to people. Their minds are all so blocked. They just can't perceive these kind of spiritual truths. This is all blocked because of this kind of bad association. Why even Brahmaji got affected? At the sight of his own daughter, Brahma was bewildered by her charms and shamelessly ran up to her in the form of a stag when she took in the form of a hind. Like that. Therefore, it is best therefore to practice controlling of senses by performing bhakti yoga, engaging in the service of Madan Mohan. Lord Krishna's name is Madan Mohan. He can subdue the god Cupid or lust. Only by engaging the service of Madan Mohan one can curb the dictates of Madan, Cupid. Otherwise, attempts to control the mind will fail. So if anybody says, I am free from lust, we can immediately have a big laughter. Right? Because there's only one person in the creation who is free from lust. Who is that? Huh? Lord Narayan. Amongst all kinds of living entities begotten by Brahma, namely men, demigods and animals, none but the sage Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of woman. Like that. Then, very important verse, we'll read the whole purport again. Text number 38. Where Prabhupada gives us the technique how to overcome the shackles of lust. Balam me pasya mayayah strimayya jaino disham yakaroti padakrantan bhruvi jimbrena kevalam.
Just try to understand the mighty strength of my maya in the shape of a woman who by mere movement of her eyebrows can keep even the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip.
Like that. Bhruvi. Bhruvi means eyebrow. Jumbrena. Just by movement of the eyebrows, you know, she can control even the greatest conquerors. There are many instances in the history of the world of a great conquerors being captivated by the charms of a Cleopatra. So Julius Caesar was a Cleopatra. She was considered the most beautiful woman in the Roman Empire. And the most powerful king, Julius Caesar, was her Krida Yoshita, Mriga. One had to study the... very important line. All of you, be ready to get bewildered now. One has to study the captivating potency of woman and man's attraction for that potency. How many of you studied the captivating potency of a woman? Yes, Utsav Prabhu? Did you study the captivating potency of a woman? Through Bhagavatam we are studying. Okay, okay. Now the thing is, from what source was that generated? This is a very important point. According to Vedanta Sutra, we can understand that everything is generated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is enunciated there, Janmadhyasyataha, right? That means that the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Person, Brahman, the Absolute Truth, is the source of everything. So therefore, the captivating power of woman and man's susceptibility to such attraction must also exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world and must be represented in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This is the point that I am saying. Everything in the material world is a vikara of the spiritual world. What is the highest thing in the spiritual world? Madhurya ras. What is the lowest thing in the material world? Lust. What is the lowest thing in the spiritual world? Those of you attended Gita classes, you should answer this. Brahman. Because Brahman has in the sat feature, the existential feature. Everything in the spiritual world has a foundation of eternality. Right? That is the lowest thing, foundation ever. Maybe foundation is a more better word than lowest. But anyway, what is the highest thing that one aspires in the material world is? Brahman. That sense of freedom from misery. The sense of eternal existence is what one aspires for. That is the highest thing. Like that. So the point is, everything in the material world is a vikara. Like that. So even the captivating power of a woman is there in Krishna, is there in the spiritual world. How does it come? The Lord is the supreme person, the supreme male. As a common male wants to be attracted by a female, that propensity similarly exists in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is it called? What is a Lord's potency to get attracted by a female called? 1.1.1, last paragraph. You wrote the exam also on that. Adi Rasa. He also wants to be attracted by the beautiful features of a woman. Now the question is, if he wants to be captivated by such womanly attraction, would he be attracted by any material woman? Because Maya is his own creation. How could he get attracted by his own creation? So it is not possible. Even persons who are in material existence can give up womanly attractions if they are attracted by the Supreme Brahman. As example is Haridas Thakur. Like that. So therefore, this material attraction therefore cannot attract the Supreme Lord. When he wants to be attracted by a woman, he has to create such a woman from his own energy. That woman is Radharani. It is explained by the Goswamis that Radharani is a manifestation of the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Supreme Lord wants to derive transcendental pleasure, he has to create a woman from his internal potency. Thus, the tendency to be attracted by womanly beauty is natural because it exists in the spiritual world. In the material world, it is reflected pervertedly and therefore there are so many inebrieties. So how should we then dovetail this propensity to get attracted by a woman? Get attracted to a woman for Krishna's pleasure. Oh my God, I cannot look at them as gopis. Talk something at my level. Okay? Krishna, who is Vibhu, gets attracted to Radharani. Krishna's Amsha, Anu, who we are, we should get attracted to? We should also get attracted to Radharani, but as the shelter potency. That is a point. So, instead of being attracted to material beauty, if one, see, answer is always in the next line. Instead of being attracted to material beauty, if one is accustomed to attracted by the beauty of Radharani and Krishna, then the statements of Bhagavad Gita, Param Dishtva Nivartate, holds true. That is what Param Dishtva, higher taste, means. Higher taste means what? Getting ultimately attracted. See, anything pleasurable in your spiritual life, in our spiritual life, is that Ladini potency only. Pleasure comes only by grace of Radharani. Facility and knowledge comes by Guru, by Balaram. But when you engage that facility and knowledge in Krishna's service, the satisfaction of serving Krishna is Radharani, that Ladini potency. And that is the higher taste to which one, a devotee gets captivated by. So, when one is attracted by the transcendental beauty of Radha and Krishna, he is no longer attracted by material feminine beauty. That is a special significance of Radha Krishna worship. So that is why, you know, and then Prabhupada concludes by talking about Yamunacharya's that special prayer, like that, that how he is disgusted with the memory of sex life with a woman. I spite on it, as Prabhupada would say, and my face turns in disgust, like that. So when we are attracted by Madan Mohan and the beauty of Krishna and his concerts, then the shackles of conditioned life, namely beauty of a material woman, cannot attract us, like that. So this is a very important point. This is again back in line with the whole Vikara philosophy, right? The more you try to negate and subdue things, suppression, nigraham king karishyati, repression and suppression are not going to give you, take you ahead for a long time. They may be temporary quick fix solutions, but they are not permanent solutions in our spiritual life. Finally, we have to undo the vikara. That is the only solution. Right? So only those who manage to do that, those are the devotees whom you see are really thriving in Krishna consciousness. Like that. So that is how you overcome the shackles of lust. Then, 39. One who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self by rendering service unto me should never associate with an attractive woman, for such a woman is declared in the scriptures to be the gateway to hell for the advancing devotee. Like that. So, who's a woman? Okay, but who is a woman? What is a woman? So in the scriptures, like previously also we discussed this, right? Sridhar Swami, what does he say? Respecting the free will of the jiva, every jiva is addressed in masculine. So whether it is male or female bodies, it is referred to in masculine only in scriptures. So what is a woman is that which increases the scope of, what is definition of stri? Expands what? That which expands the scope of material enjoyment is called as a stri. So this is also a stri for you and me and everyone. This is also a stri. All of these potentially can increase the scope of our material enjoyment. I can sit on this and I can all day, you know, do time. I can download all the latest games and keep absorbing myself in playing games. So I'm increasing the scope of my material enjoyment. So this is a stri. Like that. So such a stri is a gateway to hell for an advancing devotee. Like that. It is directed that such a self-realized soul who aspires to the topmost platform of yogic perfection should not associate with young woman. Right? Young woman means latest mobile phone. iPhone 7 is young woman for you and me. Got it? In the modern age, however, there are so many rascals who recommend that while one has genitals, he should enjoy women as much as he likes. And at the same time, he can become a yogi. In no standard yoga system is the association of women accepted. Prabhupada is talking about the Osho philosophy. It is clearly stated here that the association of women is a gateway to hellish life. The association of women is very much restricted in the Vedic civilization. The woman created by the Lord is a representation of Maya, and one who associates with such Maya by accepting services must certainly know that this is the way of death, just like a blind well covers with grass. So one of the nature of a woman is they are, or anybody in a subordinate position, is they are very expert in giving that Ishwar Bhav in you. You know what Ishwar Bhav is? I am the master, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Right? That is why in the hospitality sector, many times women are very good. It is their natural property. Women, as in the, those who have a female body, they are very naturally inclined to give that sense of comfort to the other person. So many times in hospitality sector, you will see women are by default, they take the, or even like in, if you go to a shop, you know, the across the counter, the person, the sales girls are more, they have higher sales because they give a sense of Ishwar Bhav. So you swipe your card more, right? That is there in the inbuilt in the system. Why? Because again, try to understand, where does this masculine and feminine principles come from? They come from the spiritual world. Masculine principle is the enjoyer propensity. Feminine principle is the servitude propensity. Like that. So it is nothing wrong. So the like a disciple is like a feminine potency in front of the spiritual master because he has to serve. Right? Anything that takes a subordinate position naturally takes this principle of being feminine. But that same feminine potency can also be misused in further increasing our entanglement in the material energy. That is what is being pawned here. So the point is, Prabhupada writes, 50 years ago in Hindu society, such association was restricted. Even a wife could not see her husband during the daytime. All the ladies of the house, they used to have a separate chamber. And it is not that husband could go anytime and meet the wife. There was a social culture in those days. And the elders in the family were there, so they could not freely meet in the house also. Like that. So therefore, acceptance of service rendered by woman may appear very pleasing, but one should be very cautious in accepting such service because it is clearly said that woman is a gateway to death or forgetfulness of oneself. She blocks the path of spiritual realization. Like that. So you should always be cautious of three words. Coming from the opposite sex. Thank you. Please. Sorry. Sorry is the most dangerous word. They are all three progressive levels. Right? You are all laughing now, but when the words come, then your heart will start to shake. Then you will remember this lecture. Right? So, like that. Thank you is like very formal dealings. Thank you, thank you. You did a favor, exchange of business transaction, over. Right? Please means now, which means you have to go out of your way and do some favor. That will shake, that will weaken the heart. And sorry means I have accepted my subordination. I surrender unto you. You are my master. You are correct. I am wrong. Right? So when you hear these three words, immediately move away from that place. Close your ears or do whatever. Like that. So that is the point. So therefore, next verse. A living entity who, as a result of attachment to woman in his previous life, has been endowed with the form of a woman, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as a bestower of wealth, progeny, house and other material assets. See, who is the audience in this lecture? A woman, his mother. So try to understand, these are not statements where, sometimes people have actually misquoted these statements and created a lot of mess in our organization. So please try to understand, all the jokes apart, take this for personal application, but from tomorrow don't start looking at every person with this kind of vision. Like that, the person, the audience here itself is a woman, and Kapila Muni is giving generic instructions. So see, this is a very nice statement here Prabhupada is writing. From this verse, it appears that a woman is also supposed to have been a man in her previous life, and due to his attachment to his wife, he is now in the body of a woman. Like that. and so on. In the next verse, the next purport it writes, a woman therefore should consider her husband, her house, her children to be the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death. Man has only one form of Maya, woman. But woman has so many forms, husband, children, house. All these are forms of Maya, right? External arrangements of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is the death for the deer. In these instructions of Lord Kapiladev, it is explained that not only is woman the gateway for a hell for a man, but man is also the gateway to hell for a woman. Lies the point. So, moment any kind of a relationship which is not centered on spiritual principles but on selfish carnal pleasures, then it is a source of entanglement. A man becomes attached to a woman because of her service, her beauty, and her many other assets. Similarly, woman becomes attached to a man for his giving her a nice place to live, ornaments, dress, and children. Like that. That is how a man gets trapped if a woman is ready to serve. So he looks at a woman as an object of service and enjoyment. Whereas a woman, he looks at a man as an object of comfort and security. Like that. The moment, that is what a woman's, a disciple is also seeking comfort and security from the spiritual master, shelter. So the moment anybody gives shelter, the entanglement begins. So it is a question of attachment for one another. As long as either is attached to the other for such material enjoyment, the woman is dangerous for the man and the man is also dangerous for the woman. Like that. So even in our practical dealings also, this is also a very important point. You know? So when you are, after reading this chapter, it is not that from tomorrow you will not go for your services. You know, there are women in this group, I will not talk to them, I will not. No, it's not like that. You should not be giving a false sense of understanding that you are the source of giving comfort and security. Ultimately, all comfort and security is coming from Guru and Krishna. Even in your spiritual dealings, this is a big trap actually. Because the moment you give big, powerful class, what are you doing? You are giving them spiritual shelter. Even for a moment, if you think that I am the one who is giving spiritual shelter, that vibration penetrates into the heart of the other person. And entanglement begins. So always, that is why it is very important, you know, why do we pray before the class? So that we can remind ourselves, not for others. Prayers are not for others. Prayers are for the speaker. So that we remind ourselves that this real source of spiritual shelter is coming from Balaram. He is real Bala. And he, the Guru Tattva is a real shelter. Like that. And all pleasure is ultimately coming from Krishna, not from our words. We are only a mere box, an instrument through which the sound is coming out. So if that is why we pray. When that mood is there, then one is safe in one's dealings. Like that. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, then, Prabhupada quotes Anasakta Vishayan. A man and woman should live together as householders in relationship with Krishna. Very important point. Man and woman should live together as householders in relationship with Krishna, not with each other. Only for the purpose of discharging duties in service of Krishna. Like that. Then, due to this particular type of body, the materialistic living entity wanders from one planet to another, following fruitive activities. In this way, he involves himself in fruitive activities and enjoys the result incessantly. So this is how more the karma bandhan, how it he continues further and further like that. Then, in this way, the living entity gets a suitable body with a material mind and senses according to his fruitive activities. When the reaction of his particular activity comes to an end, that end is called death. And when a particular type of reaction begins, that beginning is called birth. Very nice definition of what is birth and what is death. Right? So, we'll read the Sanskrit ones. Jivo hi yasyanugo deho Bhutendriya mano manaha Tannirodhasya maranam Avirbhavastu sambhavaha So jiva hi asya anugaha deha bhuta indriya manaha mayaha. So that body which is a suitable means for enjoying all the various anugaha, suitable for various gross elements and made of all these things, the beginning of that is called birth, and the destruction of that fruitive activities is called death. Very simple, like that. So therefore, so again Prabhupada quotes Brahmaran Sarva Bhutanam Yantara Rurani Maya. So if you remember this whole, what is the theme of this whole chapter? From hell, again, how does he further get entangled? So whole process of transmigration is being described. So under the spell of Maya, everyone is wandering through the universe on the carriage of the body offered by material energy. Materialistic life involves a series of actions and reactions. It is like a long film spool of actions and reactions, like that. So, it is, last paragraph, it is clear that a particular body is given to the living entity for a particular type of activity. This process is going on perpetually from time, which is impossible to trace out. Therefore, Vaishnava poets say, anadi karma phale, like that. Then, when the eyes lose their power to see color or form due to morbid affliction of the optic nerve, the sense of sight becomes deadened. The living entity who is a seer of both the eye and the sight loses his power of vision. In the same way, when the physical body, the place where perception of object occurs, is rendered incapable of perceiving, that is known as death. And one begins to view the physical body as one's very self, that is called birth. So just like, you know, our phone stops working someday. When the battery is dead or the spool gets spoiled, then you throw the phone and take a new phone. So it's just like that. The capacity of the body to have material perception and material enjoyment decays. That is called dead body. Then we are given a new body. Like that. Huh? SIM card is a soul. You change the phone, put it in another SIM card. Like that. So that is what death is. Therefore, one should not view death with horror, nor have recourse to defining the body as soul, nor give way to exaggerating the enjoying the bodily necessities of life. Right? Realizing the true nature of the living entity, one should move about in the world free from attachment and steadfast in purpose. Like that. Endowed with right vision and strengthened by devotional service and a pessimistic attitude towards material identity, one should relegate his body to this illusory world through his reason. Thus, one can be unconcerned with this material world. Basically, the whole point of giving all this knowledge is finally to give you that right vision by which one becomes pessimistic towards all forms of material enjoyment. You know, finally you should just develop the realization that ultimately there is nothing here to enjoy in this material world. Right? But that pessimism, when it extends even into the spiritual realm, then it is a spiritual suicide. That is what the Mayavadis do. That is why Mayavad is such a dangerous philosophy. It is making you completely hopeless. Like that. In fact, between a Karmi and a Mayavadi, who is easier to preach? A Karmi. Because at least he knows the concept of rasa. Though it is material rasa, we can easily just have to dovetail that and transform it into spiritual rasa. But a Mayavadi has completely negated all forms of rasa. So it's very difficult for such a person to be transformed like that. Yeah, jnanis also, they finally come to an impersonal conception. So jnanis, mayavadis, they are all synonymous in Prabhupada's dictionary. Like that. So we'll read the last paragraph, which is nice. The devotee's intelligence is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His attitude towards the material existence is one of detachment, for he knows perfectly well that the material world is a creation of illusion energy. Realizing himself to be a part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, the devotee discharges his devotional service and is completely aloof from material action and reaction. Thus, at the end, he gives up his material body or the material energy. And as pure soul, he enters into the kingdom of God. Thus ends the Bhaktivinoda purports of third canto, 31st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Movements of Living Entities. So couple of this and the previous purport I skipped, you please read it yourself. Right. Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.